Good morning to you all. Today is Mother's Day, a very special day here at Grace Bible Church. And in our call to worship, I want to take you to Proverbs 31, which in the Bible is considered to be one of the greatest passages relative to womanhood, to motherhood. As a matter of fact, one preacher said it this way, it is the touchstone of womanhood and motherhood. And the one verse of Scripture that, as I was reading last night, going through this passage of Scripture, verse 20, I want to kind of hone in on, describing the mother that is considered to be virtuous. It says in verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. This past week, we have been, actually last 2 weeks, we have been studying in our world history class the lead up to World War II, the Great Depression era, and we watched a film. And there was a girl, a now grown lady, that was describing what it was like to grow up in the 1930s. And she said, there are always people coming up to our back door, and Mom always had something for them to eat. She said that there was always extra on the stove, and she often asked her mom, Mom, with things so tight, why are you always cooking extra? And said, there are many people that are in need, and I'm going to help them. And so they would come and knock at the door. It might be somebody that was getting off of their shift at work and they didn't have anything to eat. And they knew that this lady would take care of them. And she said it was a constant over a 6-year period. There was every day they expected someone to come. Sometimes the individual would bring something to her to thank her for all that she had done in the past. But she had the spirit and attitude of the virtuous woman that's given here. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She doesn't wait necessarily for the poor to come to her. She does what? She stretches out her hand. She goes beyond what is required, and she extends herself to the poor. And not only that, but with both of her hands, she reaches out to the needy. She doesn't withhold anything. There's not a hand behind the back. Withholding, she reaches out with both hands and said, take. You're in need. I want to help you. This is the level that God says motherhood and womanhood should aspire to. It's a high standard. But it is nonetheless a standard given to us in the Bible that is unselfish. That is not laboring to keep back from others and try to hoard for ourselves, but rather a reaching out to those that are in need and say, I want to help. I want to reach out to you. I'm not withholding anything from you. And so, as we think this morning of Mother's Day, and as we consider, especially our young ladies, as they aspire to be mothers and to be wives someday, consider Proverbs 31 and what it has to establish as a standard for virtuous women. They are women that reach beyond themselves, and they hold nothing back to others. It's not just the family that benefits from the mother. Who else has benefited? Those who are poor and those who are in need, they reach out to them. And I pray that this morning, as we consider the Word of God as it relates to the generation in which we live in, and also as it relates to mothers, that we would get some ideal as to what God lays out in His Word about the ideal mother.
Take our hymnbooks this morning and start with number 212, please. Number 212, Savior like a shepherd lead us. Number 212, we'll stand together and sing all four stanzas. Number 212.
Jesus.
main stadium, please, as Brother Bill Farrington comes to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before Thee today, and we thank Thee, our Father, for Your great and merciful love to us through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And we thank Thee that we can be here today on this Lord's Day to worship Thee, to sing our praise unto Thee, to lift up our prayer requests unto Thee, Father, to hear Thy word preached. And Father, we thank Thee for this day that we honor our mothers. Lord, we know that You tell us in Your word to honor Thy father and Thy mother. And we take this day, Lord, to honor our mothers. We thank Thee for those mothers who have been examples to us, Father, those godly mothers who have taught us the way, who have instructed us in the way, who have set examples for us as godly parents, Lord, to lead us in paths that are straight and narrow and correct. And Father, we just thank Thee that we can be here today. We thank Thee for the mothers that we have with us, that we would honor them today, that we would lift them up, that we would exalt their place, Lord. We know in our society and in our culture that more and more the foundations of family life, mother, father, and the children in their proper roles and in their proper places are being destroyed. But Lord, we know that as Christians, we know that this is the example and this is the pattern of life and social order that You have set up. And Father, we just come before Thee today and we thank Thee. We thank Thee for Your word. We thank Thee for the opportunities that You give us to minister here, Lord, to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, most of all, we thank Thee for Your grace. We're so unworthy. We're not worthy of Your great salvation, Father. We're not worthy of Your daily blessings. Father, there's nothing that we do to earn any favor with Thee. Everything is done because of who You are and because of Your grace and because of Your mercy and because of Your great love. And we know that it is because of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and perfectly paid the price for our sin, who died upon the cross, was buried, and You accepted His death, Father, and You exalted Him and resurrected Him and exalted Him to Your right hand. And today we worship Him and we praise Him and we thank Him for all that He has done for us. And Lord, we pray that as we come to this time today of this service, that we would exalt Him and honor Him in this service today. We thank Thee for the ministry that You've given us here, that we can exalt Him and that we can honor Him on a day-to-day basis, Father, for this school, for this church, for this youth program, for the other outreaches of ministry that are here, Lord, the Children's Bible Club and the Projector Ministry and all the ministries, Father. We pray that they would remain faithful to the Word of God, that they would remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, to honor Him in everything that we do. And we just pray, Lord, that You would watch over and protect us this day. May we, everything we do, honor and glorify Thee. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Be seated, please. Over now to number 55. Hymn number 55. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Number 55.
Precious.
the message, let's turn to number 73, please. Number 73, My God is a Righteous God. 73, we'll sing only on verse number 1 and before the message this morning. Number 73.
Take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to do something slightly different this morning. I'm going to look at Mother's Day now through the lens of what is taking place today in society and what was predicted by the Word of God regarding the treatment of mothers and fathers, but specifically today, the treatment of mothers. I'm going to share with you some statistics that have been gathered over the past 20 years regarding how 10 through 16-year-olds treat their mothers. I think you'll be stunned and shocked as I was. I spent time this week going through website after website, mostly at the FBI.gov site where they have statistics dating back to 1957 regarding what they call CPV. CPV is child parent violence, child on parent violence. And I had never really taken the time to research that, but through three different sources this morning, I'm going to share with you some statistics that I think will alarm you about the generation that we live in as we consider a generation that is spoken of here in Proverbs chapter 30. Now, I want you, by way of introduction here, I want you to know that Proverbs chapter 30, the entirety, is basically a prophecy. We're told that in the first verse there, verse 1, the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal. He spoke a what? A prophecy. He was prophesying of a generation to come. And as I studied this passage with that in mind, what is the Lord saying here? What is He prophesying? What is He saying will take place in the future? He is describing in this chapter a generation. And He really hones in on this generation in verses 11 through 17. I wish we could take time to go through the entire chapter and kind of outline it for you as it illustrates, as He speaks to the generation of the end times, which I believe is what is being characterized here. He specifically hones in on this generation beginning in verse 11. And I want you to follow along as I read. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Another translation of that phrase there, their eyelids are lifted up, is not so much thinking about pride there, but their eyes are always open. They don't sleep. They're constantly going, staying up to all hours of the night. They don't understand God's regulation of time between night and day and the need for rest. They go so far in their hatred of authority that they will not let darkness tell them it's time to rest. They continue on with their sin. That's the picture that's made here. Verse 14. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. Now I want you to think, this is in the context of what? a generation. This is describing how this generation lives. They never say it is what? Enough. They're never satisfied. And that brings us to verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. And Lord, you have taken the time to share a prophecy with us here in Proverbs chapter 30. The prophecy of a generation that would not respect properly constituted authority. A generation that would not respect their fathers and their mothers, ones who loved them, ones who brought them into this world, ones who instructed and gave rules for them to follow, that they would not be satisfied with that, and that this generation would turn against the ones that God had given to them to instruct and teach them. I pray, Father, that you might instruct us today, that we might take to heart this description and depiction of this generation. And I pray, Father, that we might examine our own hearts to see whether this is a description of our day, if it's a description of our home. I pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts, and may your Holy Spirit teach us. For I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. What will happen to those in that generation that mock their parents? They will die. And the eagles will come and pluck out, the ravens will pluck out their eyes. They will devour the generation of those who did not honor their parents. Why would God tell us this? Well, first of all, God has given us commandments in His Word about how children are to honor their parents. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, we're told that children are to honor their parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That is the fifth commandment. That is a commandment that God has given to all generations. And when the generation or any generation chooses to ignore the fifth commandment, there is a very serious consequence that comes. And this prophecy that's given to us by Agur here is a prophecy of a generation to come, that the primary depiction of that time period will be one where there will be fathers and mothers who will have rules, who will have the proper training. I believe that's brought out in this passage, that they will instruct their children, but this children, living in a time of great apostasy, will ignore and will despise their parents. The Bible describes this type of generation in the end time where the teeth of the children are set on edge. The descriptions are given in the book of Malachi, and you can look through and see in the book of Matthew, as we're going to point out in our study, of the generation of the end times that despise their parents. They will not heed, they will not listen. There is an end time generation, the Bible says, that is hostile toward parents. This generation that we are told of curses their father and literally shows absolutely no gratitude to their mother. That's the idea behind this Hebrew phrase, doth not bless. Literally, it means shows no gratitude for their mother. The hostility of young people toward their parents is one of the chief characteristics of a decadent society due to the breaking of the fifth commandment. I want to share with you, I printed off several pieces of information here. One is from the FBI, Criminal Justice Information Bureau. They have, every 20 years, they release a very large and lengthy study of violence in the United States of America. And in 2013, they put on their website a pie chart considering all of the victims, offenders, and arrestees, and the percentage of those that come out of homes. This was very striking to me. Where juvenile crime occurs. This is from 2013. 13% of juvenile crime occurs at school. elementary and secondary schools, 13%. 13%, an additional 13%, occurs at department and discount stores. 31% are in a variety of places, in the street, in an alley, in a park. 31% of juvenile crime takes place there. 29% of juvenile crime takes place at home. Now, are you listening? 29% of juvenile crime takes place at home. I want to share with you some other statistics that I gathered from searching different documents. One was from the University of New Hampshire that was released in 2000. It was a very lengthy study that was done throughout the United States concerning CPV, child on parent violence. According to the study conducted by the University of New Hampshire, mothers are more likely than fathers to be victims of CPV, child on parent violence. In this study, they found that the younger the child, now listen, the younger the child, the more likely he or she will be to perpetrate child-on-parent violence. Boys are more likely to engage in this type of behavior, especially toward their mothers, according to the study. The FBI has kept statistics on CPV since 1957. In 1995, the first major CPV study was done. That was 20 years ago. The next study will be released this year. Another major study, very documented. They take all the statistics for 20 years, they package them together, and they show the trends of what has happened. But the last major study that's been put on the FBI website was in 1995. Now, in the 1995 study, females more frequently experienced family simple assault than all categories of simple assault. All right, are you listening? Females received violent attacks, simple assault, 76% versus 61% in the general population. That's astounding. 76% of females in the home experienced violence. Now get this, they were females ages 18 and above that experienced this. And it was perpetrated by children ages 10 through 16. Now, you want to know what's happening in our world? All you have to do is look into the homes. Let me go on. Mothers age 18 and over experience the highest level of child-on-parent violence. The intimidation of mothers comprised the largest portion of family intimidation at 77% versus 65% for all offenses. In the upper 70s, violence and intimidation of mothers by children. The intimidation of mothers mostly takes place in white homes. More than any other segment of society, it took place not in minority homes, but took place in white populated homes. In addition, the study showed that 27% of all violence occurs in a family setting, and the majority of those offenses, such as intimidation, simple assault, and aggravated assault, happen against females ages 18 and above. In other words, mothers bear the brunt of intimidation, simple assault, or aggravated assault in the households of America by children. I wish I had time to read to you the 2007 study that was done in Europe of CPV. The figures are strikingly similar. Theirs was in the upper 60s. Actually, America has a higher violence rate against mothers than Europe does. In England, that number was slightly higher, but in the European average, it was in the upper 60s. In England, it was 79%. CPV, child-on-parent violence. Mothers victimized by children. Here is the striking statistic. According to the 2013 National Incident-Based Reporting System that's given to us by the FBI, the spike in violence toward mothers occurs Not in the 18 and above category, but in the 10 through 16 category. Preteen and early teen is when the violence takes place against women. May I just read the last part of that verse 11? They do not bless their mothers. They do not bless their mothers. There are a few features that characterize those who are hostile to their parents. I think it is important to realize that in these last days there is a satanically inspired influence in the hearts and lives of children that move them to despise authority in any context. All you have to do is look at all the riots and the street groups that are going out to protest. What are they protesting? They're protesting authority. Are you listening? Get this now. What are they protesting? What were they protesting in Baltimore? They were protesting authority. Now, I'm sure that there are acts that are done from time to time by police officers that aren't right. I'm not just saying carte blanche that they're perfect. They're human beings like we are. But what they despise and what is happening in New York City right now is a telltale understanding of this. They stopped this pattern of what they call stop and frisk. Since that time, they've had an increase in all areas of violence. Street violence, gun violence. Since they stopped that, a liberal man came into office and he said, we're going to stop this. This is wrong. We shouldn't be doing that. And when they stopped it, what happened to the violence in the streets? Started shooting back up. They've lost several police officers that have been shot. One this past week, sitting in his car, a man came up and pulled a gun and shot him in the head while he's there. That's not speaking out against police brutality. That's hatred of authority. There's no other way to describe it. And I don't care what group it is. I'm not targeting any race because it's across the board. There is a satanically inspired work that is going on in this generation today that's not just in America. It is around the world. This despising of authority. And it has serious consequences. And it will lead to, as we learn in verse 17, the death of a generation where the ravens and the eagles will come and pick at the bodies of those who thumb their nose at God and thumb their nose at authority. They did not respect authority at its basic level. And where is that? That's in the home. Isn't it interesting? The Bible here does not describe a generation that goes up against the police officers and goes up against the kings and the rulers. Where is it at? It's at the lowest level. The basic unit of society is where children are disrespecting their parents. The ones, and as we see in this generation, as we're going to see, they despise to obey their mothers. Their mothers give commands, and the children despise to obey those commands. It's not that parents are not having rule in their homes, they're not giving rules, and they're not establishing. They're giving rules and the children are not obeying. We need to understand something about apostasy. All right? We need to understand something about apostasy. As we move up to the time, every element of society is affected by apostasy, not just religion. Every element of society. To the basic unit of the home and how the home operates, apostasy is the rejection of God and His rule over mankind, and it goes all the way down. Now, it doesn't start with 20-somethings. It goes all the way down to the children in the home. This is a prophecy by Agur about the generation that would live before the coming of the Lord. I think if you study that chapter and you compare it with other scriptures in context, you begin to understand and know the Lord is describing the end-time home. That it is a place where children despise their parents and will not obey. Even in parents' homes that have rules and have a place where they expect proper behavior, there is a despising of those rules And it always unfolds as time goes on, their despising of rules. Now I want us to look at this society, these features that are given to us. This passage of Scripture indicates a generational propensity within the context of a societal apostasy that produces ingrates and rebels. I'm going to say that again. What is produced by this generational propensity to hate authority? It produces a class of young people who are ingrates and rebels. They have no gratitude. This striking out at authority that happens in the home, that happens on the street, that happens against the police, in many ways we're going down the same pathway where we were in the 1960s. I was a child growing up in that time, but I do remember the rioting that took place in the late 1960s, early 1970s, and this walking around with the peace sign and all that stuff, but they had no peace in their hearts and in their lives. All they wanted to do was cause havoc and destruction because they hated the authority that was over them. And now, the generation that grew up in that period of time, their children now are going in that same direction of this propensity to hate authority, propensity to hate right, to hate any kind of rule. And what is produced? Ingrates, people who are not thankful, and rebels, people that are going the opposite direction of right, the opposite direction of authority. Now, there are five depictions that I want to give you in the few minutes that we have together this morning. I want to, first of all, in verse 17, emphasize a phrase that is given to us here. The eye that mocketh at his father, and get that phrase, despiseth to obey, is an interesting Hebrew word, and it means malicious scorn which stops short of obedience. Let me read that again. It's a Hebrew word that translates a malicious scorn which stops short of obedience. That's the description that's given of the generation that despises their mothers and refuses to obey. Number one, five depictions of this wicked generation of children who mock their mothers and are ungrateful, refusing to bless them. Number one, they are disrespectful to the direct authority placed over them. At the introductory level of learning to obey authority, that's where this depiction of disrespect happens. You see, children learn to obey where? In the home. That's where children learn right from wrong. They don't learn that from the police. They learn that from moms and dads. And the description that's given here is that they are disrespectful to parents in the very place where they're supposed to be learning what? Respect for authority. This generation that's described, the prophecy that's given of this particular generation, is one of disrespect to direct authority placed over them by God for their benefit and for their blessing. Young people, you need to know something right now. God put you in a home so that you might learn what's right and wrong for your blessing and for your help. And if you thumb your nose at God's authority at the lowest level, which is your mom and your dad, there's not much hope for you. Your end is in the valley with ravens and eagles plucking out your eyes because you're dead. That's what is told us here. The generational truth that God would share through this prophecy is this. You go down this road, you disrespect your mother and your father, you will die. You will not be blessed. You will not have honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth. The Lord will take that away. You'll not have that because you rejected the lowest level of authority, the direct authority of mom and dad in your life. Number two, they have no sense of shame. That's brought out in this passage in verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in what? Their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. They are not shameful. They don't look at their behavior as shameful. They have no sense of shame. They are utterly self-righteous. Let me give you the definition of shame from Webster's 1828 dictionary. Listen carefully. It is a painful sensation excited by a consciousness of guilt or of having done something which injures reputation, or by exposure of that which nature or modesty prompts us to conceal. Shame is particularly excited by the disclosure of actions which, in the view of men, are disgusting and degrading. Hence, it is often or always manifested by a downcast look or by blushes. This generation doesn't know how to blush because they have no sense of shame. Let me tell you something. All you have to do is go on Instagram or Kix or any of these social sites and look at the filthy, vile pictures that young people boast about themselves, and you'll get the idea and understand and know that they don't know what shame is. They'll post nude pictures of themselves. They'll put themselves in disgusting situations with hand gestures and all kinds of stuff, and they think that's perfectly pure and acceptable with God. It's not. What is it about this generation? They have no shame. They don't know what it means to blush. Everything is something to be laughed at. Everything is a joke. Let me tell you something. Shame is a biblical word. Why is shame rejected today? Because it comes from the Bible. And we don't want anything about the Bible ruling over us. Number three, they are proud and arrogant. Verse 13, there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Basically, and they are sleepless. They don't sleep. They just do their own thing all the time, day or night. Isn't it interesting? When do a lot of these riots take place that destroy property? What time? Yeah. And then after a night full of violence and rioting, what are they doing during the daytime? They're sleeping it off. They got their days and nights all mixed up. Why? Because they don't believe the Bible. It's a generational propensity to reject. Pride and arrogance are the way of life. Their scornful contempt for their fathers and mothers indicate a consciousness or belief of their own superiority or worth over their parents. Mom and dad are just old fogies that get in my way. Let me tell you something. You better respect your parents. And you better thank God by showing them obedience and listen to what they say and put it in your heart. Okay? Give your parents your heart so you don't go to hell. Are you listening this morning? I want you to see this. It further indicates a disdain which springs from a person's opinion of the worthlessness of their parents. It is the epitome of haughtiness, the lifting up of the eyes and arrogant pride. The attributive cause in the Hebrew is used here so as to express the astonishing honor and exaltation of arrogance. The honoring not of parents, as God says in His Word, but the honoring of my arrogance. That's what's honored today. You listen to these people. It's absolutely despicable. Reporters, they get out on the street and they want to, let's get what these people think. Let me tell you something. I don't want to know what they think. I want them to do right and love righteousness. I'm not interested in wanting to know what a rioter is doing when he's driving a car and running over stuff and knocking stuff out of the way and hitting people and doing their own thing and setting things on fire. I don't want to know what a rebel is telling me. I already see it. They've told me everything I need to know. This is important. We stick a microphone up there. Now, what are you thinking? And blah, 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 blah. They go on about this, that, and the other. And they're showing disrespect to authority. Let me tell you something. If you do what's right, you know what? Think about this. I don't think any of you in this church have had a run-in with the police lately. Why is that? Because we respect law and order. We respect authority. We've tried to teach that to our children. Respect authority. Do what you're told, and you won't have a problem with the police bothering you. The problem is we're doing our own thing, and we want to continue to do that. Number four, the Bible tells us here that they are fiercely cruel. Fiercely cruel, this generation. Look at verse 14. There is a generation whose teeth are as, say it please, swords. Their teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. You know, I read to you about the mother in verse 20 of chapter 31 who stretches out her hands to help the poor and the needy. What do we see described in verse 14 of chapter 30 here? Not a generation that's reaching out to help the poor and the needy, but are trying to devour them, to destroy them. They are cruel. They're insatiable in their covetous greed. They rip, tear, and devour those less fortunate than themselves in order to increase their gain. What's the problem we're having today in public schools? Bullying. And where does it start? Right here. The mouth. Their teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth devour and bite. Where's bullying come from? It comes from a wicked heart. It comes from a rebel ingrate heart that doesn't want to do what's right. This fierce cruelty is described by five things very quickly. They are like the leech. They are like the grave. They are like the barren womb. They are like the earth parched without rain, and they are like fire. And all five of those things that are mentioned in this passage of Scripture never say the following words, "It is enough. I'm satisfied." They never say that. The characteristic of the end time generation is that they're never satiated in their greed and in their hate and in their rebellion. They want more, and they won't be satisfied until you give it to them. And even when you get it and you give it to them, they're not satisfied with that. They want more. We need to understand. Where does this all start, folks, again? In the home, with mom and with dad. Finally, verse 17, this generation will end in a tragic death. This seems shocking, does it not? And this verse seems to be isolated from the previous text, but it is not. It is part and parcel of this verse 11 through 17. They're all connected, talking about the generation. This is a prophecy. This generation that refuses to follow properly constituted authority in the home, in the nation, in the town, in the city, in the state, wherever it might be distributed. Properly constituted authority. They reject that. The Bible says their end is what? It's death. Their end is death. I didn't say that. God did in His Word, in this prophecy. The end will be a death that is violent, but also a death which does not bring a decent burial. Do you see that in this context? In the Jewish context or culture, it was considered to be a great tragedy and a disgrace for a body to be unburied within 24 hours. In other words, they wanted that body in the ground so that no one would witness the decline and decay of that body. That no one would be harmed by the decaying body, but that it would be put in its proper place, hidden from eyes, so that the individual could be remembered. In this case, what happens to the body of the victim? It's devoured by vultures, eagles, and ravens because they refused to bow before the properly constituted authority that was given to them in this world. I want our young people to think this morning. I want you to consider, is this the kind of way you live? Or do you live differently? Do you live a life that honors mom and dad? Do you live a life that seeks to obey the rules? That seeks to honor God? Then you won't have this end that's given to us here in this particular passage of Scripture. You won't have the end that's followed here with your eyes being plucked out by the ravens and eaten because you refused to bow before the authority that God placed over you. You didn't choose your home and you didn't choose your parents. But there's no accident that you're in the home that you're in. And you need to praise God if you're in a godly home. And you need to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? It's right. There is a generation that despiseth their father and will not bless their mother. I hope that that's not the case of young people and children at Grace Bible Church. I hope that you'll thank God for the home that you have and that you will honor God in that home. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you might work in our hearts. May we have godly homes. May we have homes that are based upon the Scripture, not based upon Dr. Spock or some other psychologist, but homes that are based upon the precious Word of God. Because it's the Bible that produces homes that produce children that don't turn out this way. I pray that you would do a work today in hearts and lives. Maybe there's some young people here that need to get things right with God. They're not respecting their parents. They're not honoring their mother and their father. They mock and deride them. In secret, perhaps, they post things on social media that declare their absolute hatred for the authority and the rules that are placed over them, for their blessing and for their help. Lord, I pray that you would move in the hearts of our young people, that they would honor their parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the way of life. This is the way of godliness. And I pray that you would do a work. We thank you, dear Lord, for our mothers today. And as we recognize them in the next few minutes, I pray that you would work in our hearts and that you would raise up from this church young people who will take their place on the mission field, take their place in a Christian home, and will guide young boys that will be daddies someday that will honor Thee and have children that are serving Thee and are taught according to the Bible. Young ladies that love Your Word and want to see their children follow after Thee, see them saved at a young age. Lord, these are not just pie-in-the-sky ideals. These are things that which You expect from Your children. And I pray, Father, that this might be indeed the case. And we'll give You the praise and glory for all that Your Holy Spirit does with this precious Word that's been given to us today. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to take just a moment for our mothers to come and stand here in the front facing toward you. I've got something that I want to read after they come and share with you. So don't be shy. Come, ladies. Following what I have to share in a time of prayer, we're going to give all of our mothers a gift to take home with them. Don't be shy. Come on in. I want to say how much I appreciate here at Grace Bible Church the women that God has raised up, moms who teach their children, grandmothers who teach their grandchildren the ways of the Lord. Abraham Lincoln once said, "No one is poor who had a godly mother." And I think that that is certainly true. I want to read to you an individual who wrote a letter to his mother, and I found it very moving, and I want to share it today with our mothers, and then we're going to close in prayer. Dear Mom, as I walk through my museum of memories, I owe you. I owe you for your time, day and night. I owe you for your example, consistent and dependable. I owe you for your support, stimulating and challenging. I owe you for your humor, sparky and quick. I owe you for your counsel, wise and quiet. I owe you for your humility, genuine and gracious. I owe you for your hospitality, smiling and warm. I owe you for your insight, keen and honest. I owe you for your flexibility, patient and joyful. I owe you for your sacrifices, numerous and quickly forgotten. I owe you for your faith, solid and sure. I owe you for your hope, ceaseless and indestructible. I owe you for your love, devoted and unending. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for these moms and grandmoms that stand before us. Lord, I'm so thankful for them. I'm thankful for so many reasons. I thank the Lord for my own mom and what she has meant to me in countless hours growing up, teaching and instructing, disciplining, bringing me to the place that one day I could be an adult. And I pray, Father, that you would bless these women, that you would encourage them. Lord, we know that in this generation, the deck is stacked against mothers, for Satan is inspiring in so many ways the destruction of the home and the disrespect of mothers and fathers. Father, I pray that in this church, our young people would love their moms and their grandmoms, and that they would listen to the testimonies of your word that is taught to them. And Father, I pray that you would grant us young people who bless their mothers. For I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.